All right, Mark chapter 10 this morning, the book of Mark, chapter 10. This is a account that is found in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to focus in on Mark's account in Mark chapter 10. But it covers the story of blind Bartimaeus. Now, a lot of people believe that his name was Bartimaeus. The truth is, we don't know his name, because Bartimaeus just means son of Timaeus. So, could have been anything. Could have been Fred. We don't know. But he was the son of Timaeus. And I think there's something to be gleaned from that. You may not think that your identity is known to others, but I promise you Jesus takes notice of it, and He cares, and you matter to Him. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can believe the devil's lie that we don't matter to God. And nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I'm going to start by giving you some help regarding some contradictions that people imagine exist in this story. You see, you have three different gospel accounts, and they differ a little bit, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That happens often in the gospels. The reason being, every gospel writer is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write something from a particular perspective. And they don't contradict one another. They complement one another. You put all three of them together to get the full picture. And it's interesting to me that the people that imagine contradictions within the Bible, and by the way, I stand firmly on the belief and the conviction that the Bible contains no contradictions. It is 100% accurate, it's trustworthy, and obviously it's God-breathed. But if you look at Matthew, don't turn there, but in Matthew we see two blind men. Mark and Luke only mention one. Well, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. There were two blind men, but the Holy Spirit sees fit to only focus on the more vocal of the two, Bartimaeus. Easy fix there. Okay. Matthew and Mark say that this took place as Jesus was leaving Jericho, but Luke says it happened as he was coming toward Jericho. Well, how do you reconcile that? You ready? There's two Jerichos. Do you know that? You have the ancient Jericho, that mound that was left over from when God leveled the place. And then you have a rebuilt Jericho that was inhabited at the time of Christ. So it could have very easily been that Jesus was leaving one Jericho, heading towards another. And in that case, all the gospel writers would be correct. But then, there's another possibility that just adds to the believability of it. It could be that Jesus passed the beggars heading into Jericho and healed them on the way out. What am I trying to tell you? When people say the Bible is full of contradictions, encourage them to find one that can't be answered. There's not one. There's not one. Don't be discouraged by that. But we're going to look to Mark chapter 10 and his account. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside, or the highway side, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Boy, isn't it interesting how people are? One minute they're telling him to be quiet and keep it to himself, and then they say, "Be of good comfort, he's calling for you." Let's just love people like that. One minute they're smacking you around, and then they see somebody with a higher authority is looking your way, and all of a sudden they're your best friend. You ever seen that happen? Sure you have. Sure you have, and that's how these folks were. "Be of good comfort, he calleth thee." Verse 50, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So we're looking to Mark chapter 10 for our instruction today. And you know the story. Bartimaeus and this other unnamed blind beggar are there by the highway side. And Jesus is approaching Jericho, one of the two. And they cry out. They hear that Jesus is coming and they cry out and Jesus comes their way. You remember when Jesus came your way? You remember what he did when you cried out for him? Did he heal you? You say, well, no, I'm still sick. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you realized you were a sinner, lost and undone, blind and dead in your sins. But somebody told you about Christ and you cried out. And Jesus passed by. You remember that old song? One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Wait a minute. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. Now go ahead and relax. Enjoy yourself in church today, okay? When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. Dispels the gloom and fills the heart with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Well, isn't that true? Bartimaeus would tell you it's true. In fact, that's what I want to focus on today. If Bartimaeus were alive and present in this service today, I think he'd ask us four questions. Now, these are four questions that will help you if you're here today and you're lost, you've never trusted Christ, you've never been saved. These four questions will help you. If you're saved, if you've been saved 20 years or more, these four questions will help you. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Four questions from Bartimaeus. Four questions from Bartimaeus. Father, would you help us today as we look to your word? I need your help. Forgive me where I fail you, Lord, and use me in spite of myself, I pray. God, would you speak to hearts? If there's somebody here today that needs to be saved, I pray they trust Christ before it's too late. I pray that Christians would get the help they need, encouragement, direction, conviction, whatever they need, I pray that they'd have it, Lord. More than anything else, we're asking that Jesus be lifted up and magnified and made much of in this place. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Would you not let the devil get a foothold in this place with any distraction or any discouragement, Lord? I pray you'd bind him and that you'd have your free will in this place, in this hour. And we're going to thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. So let's pretend, let's imagine that God has somehow transported Bartimaeus right here into our church service, sitting amongst the people of Fellowship Baptist Church. What would Bartimaeus say? What would he ask us? I believe that he has four questions that he would ask us today. Here's the first one. You ready? He would look to you, and by the way, he'd be able to see you because Jesus healed him. He would look to you, and he would ask this first question. You ready? Don't you know who he is? Hey, Fellowship Baptist Church. Hey, visitor. Hey, friend. Don't you know who he is? Look at verse number 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, why is that significant? Because he was not just crying out to a prophet. He was not just crying out to a miracle worker. When he used this term, thou Son of David, he was saying, Jesus, by faith, I believe that you're the Messiah that we've been looking for. I believe that you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. Yeah, you've done some great prophetic works. And yeah, you've done worked some great miracles. But as I cry out to you, I believe you're the Messiah because I know who you are. And if he were here today, he would look out across this crowd and he would say, hey, don't you know who he is? What about if you're lost? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, he would say, you who are lost, who have never received Christ as your Savior, my question to you is, Don't you know who he is? John chapter 10, then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus speaking to Thomas, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter is speaking here, and he says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm asking you today, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you've never appropriated His payment for sin, my question to you is the same question Bartimaeus would have. Don't you know who He is? But maybe you're saved today. You're on your way to heaven. Maybe you've been saved a long time. I still would ask you the question, and Bartimaeus would still ask you the question, don't you know who He is? I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know how deep your waters. I don't know how dark your storm clouds. But you know what the answer is? The answer is who He is. The answer is not found in any other source except in knowing who He is. Jesus said of Himself in John 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he's referencing Isaiah 61 and a little bit Isaiah 42. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He's the one that said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the one that said through Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's the one that's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the one that told Paul to tell us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. John chapter 21, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 28 before He left, He said this, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I don't care how long you've been saved. If you've forgotten who He is, you need to remember. Why? Because there's no question He can't answer. There's no infirmity He can't heal. There's no broken heart that He can't mend. There's no problem that He can't overcome. There's no loss that He can't restore. There's no rebellion He can't put down. There's no thought that He can't read. There's no tear He can't wipe away. There's no bill He can't pay. There's no darkness that He can't light up. There's no church He can't revive. There's no wayward Christian He can't reclaim. And I'm here to tell you, there's no sinner that He can't save. Don't you know who He is? That's what Bartimaeus would ask you. You know what else he'd ask you? No, you know what? I ain't done with Scripture yet. Let me remind you of who He is. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. How about this? Can we fast forward to the future, a future I'm looking forward to? And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Where did he get all those crowns? They're the ones we threw at his feet. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Who's that? That's us. That's us. Followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Can I remind you, ISIS is nothing to Christ. He speaks the word and they fall. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Watch this. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. I don't know what you find yourself in today, but I know the answer. The answer is found in who he is. So Bartimaeus would ask you, don't you know who he is? Secondly, Bartimaeus would ask you this. Take this personal. I mean it. Take this personal. Here's what he asks you. You ready? Don't you know who he is? Number two. Who are you trying to impress? If Bartimaeus were standing here right next to me, first of all, he'd look at me. He'd say, hey, Andy. Well, actually, that's Reverend Davis, Bartimaeus. Andy, who are you trying to impress? And he'd look at you. And he'd say, who are you trying to impress? Look at verse number 47. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And Bartimaeus, realizing that he had committed a social faux pas, went back to his place and sat quietly. Is that what your Bible says? Oh, no. If it is, you need to get a new Bible. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more, a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Here's a blind man that's heard that Jesus passed by, and he cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, be quiet over there. You be quiet. You keep it to, what? Jesus! Son of David! You know why? He wasn't interested in impressing anybody. He had no regard or concern for the criticism of others. When I first started pastoring, I made a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. I've made many mistakes since then, but as best I know, with God's help, I've not made this mistake a second time. As I was leading that church, that dear, precious church, a small church, a country church in northeast Alabama, I was way too concerned with impressing other preachers. And because of that faulty mindset, I made a lot of mistakes, made a lot of bad decisions. Can I just tell you something by God's grace? I do not care one whit what the leaders of fundamentalism think about this church or about how I lead it. Now, that doesn't mean that I've got a chip on my shoulder and I'm trying to tick everybody off. I've just learned something. First of all, I never voted any leaders into fundamentalism. Last I checked, we're an independent Baptist church, and the whole point of that is we're independent. We don't have a hierarchy, right? We're hard on Catholics because they follow the Pope, but you know, Baptists, we got our own popes. Only difference is ours get to get married. Now, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to say that I know more than all these other, and there's great preachers out there, great leaders out there, and I thank God for them, but at the end of the day, I only have one metric as to whether or not I'm doing right, and it's this book right here. Man, that should have got an amen. I thought we loved the Word of God here. Because people can be wrong. Movements can be wrong. But this book is never wrong. And so at the end of the day, if God through His Word evidences that He is pleased, what more could we want? Who are we trying to impress? His blinded state left him with no pride to get in the way. And if we understood our true state, we wouldn't have any pride either. If we saw ourselves as we really are, apart from Christ, if we saw ourselves as we really are, apart from His grace, we wouldn't be prideful either. You've heard the story before of the young preacher that was given his first opportunity to preach. And he was a gifted young man. Gifted young man. And his pastor gave him the opportunity to preach. And he went to his pastor before he preached and said, "Preacher, I need you to pray something for me." And he goes, "What's that?" And he goes, "I want you to pray that God will keep me humble." And that older preacher looked at him and said, "Son, why shouldn't you be?" Because sometimes we think a little too much of ourselves, don't we? But the fact is, if we could see our state as it really is apart from Christ, we wouldn't have any room for pride. If you're here today and you're lost, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, Bartimaeus would ask you, "Who are you trying to impress?" Because in Isaiah 64 it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Now, I'll not elaborate what that's talking about, but it is vile. It is nasty. "And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." And so when these big names die and they talk about all the charity and all the good works they did and everything else, none of that matters a bit when it comes to whether or not they go to heaven. Because our righteousnesses, they don't cut it. And if we saw ourselves apart from Christ, we would realize we have no room for pride, and we would have to ask ourselves the question, who are we trying to impress? If you're here today and you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. I would ask you this, just as Bartimaeus would. Who are you trying to impress? Well, preacher, I'm a member of the church. I'm an upstanding member of the community. Woo! So am I. Sometimes I get to open the Board of Supervisors meeting in prayer. And I used to think that was a big deal until I saw some of the other people who get to do it. I'm a member of the community. It's starting to be. I've been here 3.5 years, almost 4 years. 4 years in February. Man, can you imagine that? And do you know what? People, Brother Sam, they're starting to recognize me. Who are we trying to impress? Because I'm talking to saved people now. And if you go to Revelation 3, you see that Jesus is talking to saved people there. He's talking to people in a church called Laodicea. And he said, "Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and," wait, just like Bartimaeus, "and blind and naked." So Bartimaeus would ask us, who are you trying to impress? Because when Jesus came by, he only had one priority. It wasn't to impress anybody. It wasn't to earn points with any leaders. He had one priority. You ready? I need to get close to Christ. Beloved, now I say this, and I'd say this in any church in America. I'm not picking on my church. If I were preaching in any church in America, I'd say this. Your job is not to impress anybody in this church. Your job is not to impress anybody in your community. Your job is to live in service to Christ. See, our problem is we work too hard on our reputation and not hard enough on our testimony. Did you catch that? We work too hard on our reputation and not hard enough on our testimony, and they're different. Don't worry about your reputation. You worry about your testimony, because that's all God cares about. You see, if Bartimaeus was here, he'd ask you, "Don't you know who he is?" And he'd ask you, "Who are you trying to impress?" And here's the third question he would ask you. What do you have that's better than what he can give? What do you have that's better than he can give? Look at verse 49. "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Sorry, no good snakes. "And he," meaning Bartimaeus, "casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The garment in verse number 50 is his outer cloak. It is probably a heavier material, and it is likely the most valuable possession that he has. It shelters him from the weather. He lays on it to sleep. It's really his only source of comfort. And to cast it away was to virtually ensure its loss. Why? Because he's blind. How's he going to find it again? A cloak, this outer garment, was a valuable thing. Probably as soon as he tossed it, somebody grabbed it. So why'd he do it? I'll tell you why. Because Bartimaeus' faith told him he wasn't going to need it anymore. And if he held on to it, it might trip him up and might keep him, impede him from getting closer to Christ. So you know what he did? He chucked it. He chucked it. For those of you that are around here, I think you say he chunked it. But the correct word is chucked it. He tossed it. He disposed of it. He got it out of the way. Do you know why? Because he understood this truth. There is nothing I have that's better than what he can give. So if you're here today and you're lost and you've never trusted Christ, I want to ask you something. What do you have that's better than what he will give? Well, I got it pretty good. Got a beautiful home, good paying job, can buy whatever I want, got a couple of nice cars, pay people to do things for me. Well, that's just wonderful. Can I give you an ugly truth? You die and you leave every bit of it behind. And you die without Christ, you go into eternal hell, lost and undone with no hope. And you'll find the things you have are not better than what he could give. In fact, it's put this way in Mark chapter 8, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So this is a pertinent question that Bartimaeus would ask somebody who's lost. But if you're here today and you're saved, you've trusted Christ, it's still a pertinent question. What do you have that's better than what he will give? You see, Paul lamented in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And right now there are Christians, people that are saved, they're on their way to heaven, but you have so fallen in love with the world, and you have so fallen in love with stuff, that you've started to believe the lie that what you have is better than what he can give. I got some nice stuff, y'all. Got a nice car. Got a beautiful home. The Lord takes care of me. I'm going to go home this afternoon, Lord willing, unless something comes up. I'm going to go home and watch the Washington Redskins. Amen. On a nice television. You know what it is? It's something that in 10 years will be on the junk heap. That car, 20 years, it ain't running. Even my home, in the years to come, it'll begin to fall apart. There's nothing I have that's as good as what he can give. And there are things like this cloak. Was it wrong for him to have this cloak? No. But if it kept him from getting to Christ, it became a liability. And if you have something in your life that is keeping you from being as close to Christ as you possibly can I give you some good counsel? Chuck it. Chuck it. If your television keeps you from Christ, chuck it. If that friendship keeps you from Christ, chuck them. If that pastime keeps you from Christ, chuck it. It's not worth it, because there's nothing you have that is as good as what he can give. And Bartimaeus knew that. Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, he will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if Bartimaeus were here, I think first of all he'd ask you, don't you know who he is? And then he'd ask you, who are you trying to impress? And then he'd ask you, what do you have that's better than what he will give? And here's his last question. What do you got to lose? Here's Bartimaeus. I'm sitting on the side of the road, blind, begging. This is the best it gets for me. If I run after him and he does nothing, what did I lose? And there's some people in here, whether lost or saved, that Jesus is pleading with you. If you're lost, he's pleading with you to come to him. If you're saved, he's pleading with you to return to him. And you've got this strange idea in your head that you'll lose something. Can I tell you a secret? Without Christ, you don't have anything anyway. You got nothing. If you're lost today, what do you have to lose? In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul puts it this way. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So if Jesus is not who he said he was, then I guess you're all right for now. But what if he is? What if he's exactly who he said he is? What if he did die, was buried, and on the third day rose again? What if he meant what he said when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? What if he meant it when he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves? It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What if it is true that Jesus is the only way? If you're lost today and Christ is not who he said he was, then you're right where you started from. But if he is, you've lost everything. And Christian, what do you have to lose? If you've pulled away from Christ, if you've put your hand up and said, I'm keeping my distance, Lord. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but I just don't want to serve you. I don't want to live for you right now. I just want to be. What are you gaining by that? Who could stand up today and honestly say that when I gave my life to Christ and when I served him faithfully, I lost anything? I look at my life. I was saved young. But I had a period of time where I got away from God. I don't say a whole lot about it because I don't want to glorify it. And by the way, I'm an exception, not the rule. Most people don't come back. So don't think, well, preacher, he got away from God and came back and everything worked out all right for him. I'm the exception, not the rule. And can I tell you, I bear scars because of it that I wish I didn't have. But I look back on my time away from Christ, and can I tell you something? Not only did I not lose anything, I've gained everything. Look at Bartimaeus. What did he have to lose? Look at verse number 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He could have said, Lord, would you just give me a blessing? But he didn't. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know what some of your problems is? Your God's too small. you serve a God that maybe might can shoot you a little blessing every now and then. But I happen to serve a God who said, I'm the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. This is the God of whom it said, is there anything too hard for thee? Your God's too small. My God's mighty big. So if Bartimaeus were here, if he were standing here before you, he would look out across this auditorium and he would ask you four questions. And these four questions would hit home whether you're lost or whether you're saved. He'd ask you these things. Don't you know who he is? Who are you trying to impress? What do you have that's better than what he'll give? And what do you have to lose? These are four questions from Bartimaeus. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed with no one looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the ladies come, begin to play hymn of invitation. The altar is open even now. If God would have you to come, I encourage you to come. Now, it's so important that nobody be looking around. It's important to me, and I believe it's important to the Lord, that people feel free to make decisions with the least resistance as possible. I wouldn't want anybody to fail to make a good decision today because they're worried about what somebody would think or say. Now, we shouldn't be worried about that, but I want to make it as easy as possible for people to make decisions for Christ. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. And I'm going to ask you to respond by raising your hand. I won't call you out. I won't pull you aside. I won't try to embarrass you. If I knew your name, I wouldn't call it out. I just want to pray for you. I wonder if there'd be somebody here today, and if you're honest, you'd say, Andy, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. If the rapture were to happen, I'd probably be left behind. If I were to die, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure that I am saved. And when I say saved, I don't mean that you're a member of a church or you've been baptized. I mean there was a time in your life that you realized you were a sinner, and by faith you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Savior. You say, Andy, I don't know for sure today that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up to sign up for me to see it? I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody? All right. I wonder if there'd be a Christian here today. Same things apply. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But I wonder by an uplifted hand, you say, Andy, these are questions from Bartimaeus that I needed to hear. Because the fact is, sometimes I forget who he is. And sometimes I'm trying to impress everybody but him. And sometimes I think what I have is better than what he will give, and I forget that I've got nothing to lose. I ought to just put it all in for Christ. And I'm asking you to pray for me today. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony? All right. In just a second, I'm going to pray, and the altar is going to be open, and you'll be obedient to him today. Father, would you help anybody that may be here today that's lost? I pray they trust Christ before it's too late. And I pray that Christians would take heed to these poignant questions from Bartimaeus and act accordingly. Have your will and way in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God's spoken to you, you come. These are praying. The altar is still open. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you know this song, don't look around, but if you know this song, let's sing that first verse as they play. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white. white as snow. You can look this way. We're going to sing this last verse. What number is that, brother?
131.
131. There's a couple in there. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, Wind Before the Throne. Let's do that one. 131 if you need it. Let's sing it. I'm going to ask Brother Warden to come and lead us in this last verse. And let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Don't forget, choir practice tonight, 4:45. Prayer time, 5:30. Evening worship at 6. Be there, all right? Amen.
When